You know what time it is. Welcome to Great Table Talk. Four childhood friends coming together to make a difference in our everyday community. Enjoy this week's episode. All right, welcome to Great Table Talk. It's Cash.
And it's Brandon.
How you doing, B?
I am good.
We missing two of our sidekicks, but you know.
That's right. Gonna run rep one half of the half.
That's right. So, hey, Ree. Hey, Pat.
What's up?
So, we're going to do this one. Well, that's just us two this morning. So, I got a hot topic.
All right. I'm with it.
Hot topic is this.
All right.
I was reading an article about.
Just going to get right into it.
I just got to go. Sometimes you just got to go in.
Waste no time.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's go.
I was reading this article, and it's a true news article. And it was what two best friends have been best friends for like 40 years. 40 years, best friends. And something happened, a disagreement.
All right.
Which caused, I guess, one best friend ended up buying a house. That's the way it read. One best friend ended up buying a large house. And all of a sudden, and she ended up getting married.
Okay.
So best friend bought a house. She ended up getting married, then buying a house. And all of a sudden, issues start happening between the two best friends.
All right.
The best friend set her girlfriend's house on fire.
This really happened? This recently?
Yes, sir. So, and it wasn't here. I think it's somewhere like in D.C. or something.
Wow.
So the article was reading that the friend who had their house set on fire saying that the best friend was jealous.
I mean, well.
You know, because they used to kick it, party all the time.
Yeah.
And so be it. She wanted her best friend back. So now she's facing arson charges. For setting her best friend's house on fire.
I mean, like I can work the jealousy angle, and I can see it that way too. But like that almost seems like an unhealthy friendship to where you would go to such extremes.
40 years.
Yeah, I mean, it almost seems like she's semi possessive of the friend in a strange way.
That's
a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
that's doing a lot.
It is. Kind of brings us to our hot topic, right?
All right. So.
I mean, it's our main topic,
Our main topic. So we're going to, I guess, talk about, I guess, different aspects of that and what happens in the friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Goodness gracious. Burned it down? Really?
Burned it down. You know, here's the thing. I understand how some friends, I mean, I remember back in middle school, I used to have a friend, and when I became a friend with someone else, like, that's my best friend, blah, blah, blah. But that's middle school. Yeah. I think we're adults now, and we are supposed to evolve. We're supposed to be on our grown and sexy. Why is it that you can't be happy for me, but yet you want to try to stagnate me?
I think it is. It kind of goes back to possession. Like it is like that. Because what's funny is that I'm thinking about a story somebody told me about a group of girls going on vacation, and you know, some of the girls knew each other. You know, like you go in cliques, and it's like certain people are friends with certain people, and then you have friends of other people come along. And then, you know, they may hang out. Like, you may have went with your best friend, but she starts hanging out with the other people.
Yeah.
And now you feel some kind of way.
All right.
And, like, I think friendships do turn into a little bit of possession. But, I mean, you say going to the extreme of burning down a house.
I mean,
hey, fam.
Okay. Like, I don't know how you can salvage that.
No, but changes. Like I always say, like, change is a scary thing for people. Especially, like I say, you got 40 years of a friend, and now she's married. And, you know, maybe she's not married. Maybe she's not happy. And it's hard when people find their happiness and you still feel like you're searching for yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's that thing.
And it kind of touches on what we want this podcast to be about.
Yeah.
You know, it's very important for us to get to a place that we are, once we're moving along in life and we're supposed to evolve.
Yeah.
We have to get to the place that we have to embrace each other's evolution, shall I say.
Yeah.
So why is it that, which is our main topic, people, why is it that you lose so much when you're trying to better yourself when it comes to your friends, sometimes family?
I mean, you got to be understanding on a lot of levels. I mean, because it's hard, because I think when you're in a friendship and you've been nurturing each other for so long, and then, you know, things start happening for you really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You may not realize how, you know, much you've alienated that friend that's been there for a long time. Because it's like, I got my husband now. I got my house now. I ain't got time to talk. I ain't got time to hang. You know, right. And it's like, well, hey, what about me? You know, I've been here 40 years through you going through different people, mm-hmm. and going through different struggles. And now, you know, you got your slice of the pie, and it's like, you know, hey, I feel sorry for you, but I'm happy you gotta find your own way.
Right.
I think on the person that's making it, that's their responsibility. But on the other person, I mean, you do have to get to a place to where the focus is solely on you. Like, if somebody's moving on and they're doing different things, like, you got to congratulate them on a certain level. And if the relationship changes, I mean, you got to start to focus on you.
Right. Exactly. Okay. And I'm all for that. I one of the things, and of course, to kind of stick with the whole main topic, I've noticed, even, let's say, you've been friends with someone for so long, and I'm even talking about family as well.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, right now, you know, I'm hugging 40. It's right there. I'm like this on 40. You know, hey. I'm saying, like, hey, 40.
How you doing? 40's
like, girl, I'm waiting on you. Mm-hmm. So I was talking with someone the other day, and they were putting me in a box that I was in when I was like 14, 15, 16. And I'm looking at them like, I cannot believe you're still putting me in that box. Yeah. I'm not that little girl anymore. I evolved. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes folks want to put you in that box. Oftentimes you think back, and don't get me wrong, it's human nature that sometimes when you think about someone and you think back to what they did when they were, you know, yesteryear or whatever, and you keep them in that box.
It's the only common ground you really still have is that, you know, is that box. And then people really only understand things. Is that cognitive dissonance or whatever that thing is?
Yeah, like cognitive.
People, mm-hmm. Like, they can, you know, they only can relate to things from their own level of understanding. So they're not going to see your growth if they haven't grown.
Right. And sometimes this is a challenge even for me. I think for the last 2 years, I've been on this personal journey to not only better myself, but to challenge even those around me who I'm connected to, to better themselves.
Yeah.
So in the midst of me bettering myself and growing, I have seen myself evolve, but I also have seen some strife, shall I say, with those, some of those that are around me.
Yeah. I just, like, I always say, with anything, be careful of being, like, preaching. I have to stop myself sometimes. Like, I mean, because you can tell people something, but I mean, you can't really force them to do it. You can't really make them understand it. And they really do have to find their own way around it. And that's the hardest thing, is like, if you figure something out, the thing that you want to do is to try to help everybody else figure it out too.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's difficult because you realize that people just really aren't interested at the time. You know, they're not feeling it.
That's true. And in that sense, you kind of have to learn to love people where they are.
Yeah.
But not be so caught up into that relationship that you continue to, I won't say backslide, cause that's so churchy, that you regress.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's time out for the regression of it all.
Yeah.
So if you have to love somebody where they are, that don't mean like I'm cutting them off, I don't have nothing to do with them. Cause I was also, I was also talking with somebody recently, and they was like, well, I'm cutting them off. Like, hold on, you just can't cut your mama off. Like, wait a minute.
But they say it every day. Like, people, I think people love to say things they don't mean.
Yeah, like hold on.
That thing.
Let's just love them where they are. Like, love them where they are.
Like, no, everybody got to get it.
Right.
In that moment. Like, we speak on it as if, like, it's concrete fact,
right,
too. Like, I ain't never speaking to them again. And then you see them, like, 10 minutes later, and they laughing.
And you're like, really? For real? This is what we're doing? Right. So, 2018, what has been your biggest challenges with evolving?
Like, growth is for me, it's like, I think I'm learning or kind of chasing learning on a level that's probably different than most people right now. I mean, my reading's accelerated, you know, the amount of videos and things that, I mean, I'm just gonna get up and dedicate myself to, mm-hmm. like, every morning. Like, I mean, I know people have regimens where they get up and they may meditate, or they may just try to organize their day. Like,
which is me.
Everything for me, when I get up, is trying to, I guess, motivate myself to, you know, accomplish the things that I set out for. And a lot of people just aren't really driven. Like, I think a lot of people are just in a place where they're just living. Like, they're just trying to get through their days, you know. They don't want to add nothing to it.
Yeah.
They've let life kind of dictate to them what they need to do. And I'm really at a place where I'm actively trying to turn that around. Like, I want to dictate to life what I want to create in it. And it may turn you on to something else. So as I kind of spin off into different things, I may, you know, watch a video that may further explain something that I didn't really have an understanding of or knowledge of. And like, that's the thing. I always say, like, I was telling my son about watching 1804 and how much I didn't know about Haiti. Mm-hmm. And now how badly I want to go to Haiti myself and take him to Haiti. Mm-hmm. And this is information that's there. I mean, it's not like they hid it from us. They just didn't teach us about it. They didn't tell us about it.
Right.
You know, and even in our books, like, if we learned anything about Haiti, we might have known something about Toussaint. As part of the rebellion, but it was so many other people that were a part of the rebellions, you know, and just a part of giving Haiti that liberation. So getting the backstory and just kind of chasing that down as far as I can. Like, for me, that's usually where I am.
So your journey is more so about our people and the different cultures, the variations of the different cultures from country to country, and how to better ourselves as individuals.
Yeah.
And recognizing where we come from and the different diversities of who we are.
Yeah. I think for me, I concentrate on diversity a lot, because I think when you're trying to appeal to a lot of different people and trying to kind of bring them into a common ground, you've got to kind of learn the history of people that were able to accomplish it on any level, you know, whether it be small or whether it be large. Because I think for us, like, that's the biggest thing. We like to differentiate ourselves so much that it's hard for us to bring us together, because everybody wants to be something different. You know, nobody wants to be part of the collective.
Yeah. Okay. And my journey is a little bit different, and that's what makes us so awesome. Yeah. My journey is about not only self-discovery, right? And what I mean by the self-discovery is this. I have, of course, we have parents, and of course we are parents.
Yeah.
And it's important to understand why we think the way we think, why we do what we do, why we respond the way we respond, and kind of delving into more of a spiritual side of delving into, where did this come from?
Yeah.
You know, going back to where it comes from and dissecting it. Because sometimes, I mean, in my 30s, I've kind of thought back to things of my responses in the past, or even my responses of yesterday. And I'm like, man, where did that thought process come from?
Yeah.
What did I? So I kind of have to go back and think about how I was raised and how that played a part.
Yeah.
The things that I, the trauma or not that I was exposed to younger and caused me to have that viewpoint that I have. So I'm all about understanding that, dissecting that, and being on guard against that, so it won't have to continue from this point forward. And I'm talking about good and bad.
Yeah, but that's, like, I think if a lot of people took that mindset, that they would be a lot better off. Like, do you not think it's weird that how, you know, say you be 30 something and how little you've actually thought about how things affect you?
Yeah.
I mean, how, like, you can literally ask a lot of people, you know, in our age group, like, what makes you happy? What are the things you like to do? What do you do with your, like? And they don't, like, they don't do,
they don't know, right.
They don't know, they don't really do anything, because they don't really take a whole lot of time to think about themselves.
Right.
They you know, they're living through their kids, they're living through their jobs, they're living through everything except
Absolutely.
Themselves.
Absolutely. That you is know? A perfect example.
So,
what are you living for? Like, what are you really living for?
Yeah.
We have to really figure out what is it that we're living for?
I know.
I mean, obviously, I do everything for my kids. No, let me just say, I'm a mother of three.
Yeah.
I love my kids with all of my heart, but I don't just live for them, because if I was just doing what I do for them, I would tap out very, very easily and very, very quickly. You get what I'm saying?
That's where the crisis come in. Like, people always wonder, like, why, you know, where the middle, like, that's where your midlife crisis come from, because you have that moment where you wake up and you be like, I have neglected myself for so long.
Absolutely.
I try to do me. And people
Absolutely.
Be like, oh, you done lost your mind. Like, no, you kind of found your mind.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, you're living for you.
Right. Live for you.
Yeah.
When you're on a plane and that thing, they say if the oxygen drop off, help yourself first.
Yeah.
Then if you can assist someone else, go ahead and assist someone else. They don't say help the person next to you, then help yourself.
No. They do it. Like, you can't, how you say, you can't pour from an empty glass.
That's right.
You got to do it. And I think you talk about how we've kind of been indoctrinated with certain things. Like, if you say that, it almost sounds selfish to most people, because that's kind of how we've been programmed.
That's right.
Like, you know, no, don't do that. You focus on other people. Right. You focus on, and I mean, the thing is, we can do it all.
That's correct.
I mean, and it's not enough people saying it. Like, you can literally do it all. You can love you, and you can love everybody around you.
And don't confuse self-love for being selfish. For years, I used to always go, well, I'm being a little selfish right now. Well, no, it's called self-love.
No.
You have to love yourself.
No.
Yeah. If you don't love yourself, how can you love me?
You can.
You get what I'm saying?
You
can. And a lot of people, we continue to perpetuate this narrative that self-love is being selfish. If you don't take time to make sure you're eating right, you're exercising your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, you're going to be in an empty, empty place. And you're going to project that off on your children, and project that off on your spouse, and project that off on people around you. And that's going to be a continued cycle of you doing the same things in and out.
You know?
Why not get to the point that you continue to love yourself? And that's always a process. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes it's a hit or miss, but the act in loving yourself is something that will take us far. And we'll be more healthier overall.
And the more you look inward for your answers, the less you start, you know, blaming other people and pointing the fingers at why things aren't going right. It's good, like back to your, you know, the subject of the matter and the lady burning the house down. It's like, she probably devoted so much of herself to that person that she felt betrayed.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
You can't invest that much in other people because they have their own lives to live. You got to invest that time and energy in yourself.
It's great to have fun when you're with your clique.
Yeah.
It's great. But at the same token, I want you to be happy. My overall goal is for you to happy. Yeah. And when we get together, we're going to turn up. And then when we're not together, we're waiting for the next time. But in between, we're taking care of our lives. Because again, I'm not living. And I pray that I don't ever make anyone my sole priority, that I live, breathe for them.
Dude,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just
people make other people their, you know, their priority, when like the people in your life are accessories. They are those things that are there to make you better, to accentuate who you are.
That's they're supposed to make you better.
Yeah. I mean, but that's how you should guard your life.
Right.
If someone doesn't come into your life that makes you better, then, you know, the call is on you to either, you know, reform that relationship or eliminate that relationship.
And a good point you just made. This was another conversation I was just having, I think, last week. And someone was telling me how they were in this relationship, and it's a friendship, and how this person is not changing. Like, no matter what I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And it's frustrating because they don't want to change, or they don't. Conversation I was having, they were in this relationship and the girl wasn't changing. No matter what he did, the girl was not changing. And here's what we need to understand. Oftentimes, regardless of how long we're in a relationship or what we do inside of that relationship, if I'm out, hey, you want something to eat? I'm out here. And I'm always doing that for you. Sooner or later, one would think, okay, naturally, that if you're out, you're not just going to come home with something to eat for you. You're probably going to call me because that's what I have given you, that example of kind of what to do. Yeah. But the reality of it is, some people don't have that capacity to love you the way that you want to be loved. Some people don't have that capacity. And keep in mind, it goes back to what you were exposed to, what you do, whether you're a selfish person, whatever the case may be. And you may do this stuff a year in and year out and get frustrated because you kept on giving something that that person wasn't giving you. Now, keep in mind, it could be love, it could be finances, it could be time, energy, sacrifices. If that person doesn't have the capacity, we need to be wise enough in this day and age, at our age, to say, this person don't have the capacity. So therefore, I'm going to love that person where they are. You got somebody always want to turn up. Another example. They always want to turn up. We touching 40 and they always want to turn up every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they always in somebody club turning up. That's not necessarily a bad thing to do. However, what else are you doing constructive besides that? That's not constructive. Like, all the time. Like, there ain't nothing wrong with turning up. But all the time, though.
I always say I leave people to their priorities. I mean, and for me, I always gonna gauge those relationships off. Just like, say, if you're in a relationship with a person and you feel like they're giving you what you deserve, then you gotta walk away from that situation, because people think that they can change a situation from the inside, and they can't. Like, there's a reason. Like, say, if a person stands up and sits down and that chair is always there, they're always gonna just stand up and sit down.
Yeah.
Until you remove that chair and let them fall,
Yeah.
That's usually the only way that things really happen. Like, think about even yourself and when you really thought about making massive change in your life. It's when the bottom fell out.
That's real talk.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's real talk.
I'm not worried about paying my rent if my rent's always paid. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to worry about that rent paid until it's not paid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, all
right,
now I got to start making some changes. Right. But if you don't ever really put that on a person's mind, like, how can you expect them to change when you continuing to be the crutch?
I'm gonna tell you, and I'm fortunate for that. I love to learn from other folks. Yeah. I'm a student before I'm anything else, and I can sit back and see how you move, and I'm like, I ain't gonna do that. Or okay, maybe I should. But it's I hate to get to the point that I'm desperate for something before it happens, because that don't necessarily have to be that way.
No,
you can learn, just be like, oh, there's wisdom here. Let me try to take this and make sure I pay some stuff up. I mean, we have to get to that point.
Yeah.
We have to get to that point.
You have to.
And you're going to lose some relationships.
Like, but I don't think you lose a relationship if you leave the door open and you're honest. I think people lose relationships because of how they play it. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
Like, if, say I have friends and they may do things that I'm not into. That don't really stop me from being your friend. I'm just saying that as long as you're in that atmosphere, I'm not going to really move with you. You know, if there's another time things come around, like I'm all for it. But see, I think what happens is that we'll have a friend and they may be moving in a way that we don't approve of, but then we take it to everybody. I don't like what so-and-so doing.
Yeah, that's
I don't talk to so-and-so because that's not necessary. Now you're violating the friendship you're not being a friend. Now you're trying to, you're trying to go hard at me when if you love me, you're going to tell me where I'm messing up and you're going to leave it at that.
But again, it goes to the character of a person. Sometimes we often try to make someone something that they're not.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
That's where it goes back to say trying to fix it from the inside. Like often you cannot fix things from the inside because you can't fix people. Like I would say you can't make anybody do anything that they're unwilling to do. So they've got to come to that place inside of themselves.
True.
So
now it depends on whether you're going to step in when they come back, like that whole open door. Some relationships hold on. Some relationships you just gotta let go. I'm just being honest. Some you just gotta be like, this is not a good look, because this person's not gonna change.
But I always say like love conquers all, and I'm just saying like real love, not that I love that we throw around so often. I'm saying if you love a person, that door is always open because. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really and genuinely want to be there for them. I mean, the grounds of your relationship may be changed. Even if it's an ex-relationship, if you ever need me, I'm there for you. Like, the grounds of the relationship change, but there's no way in this thing, if I can ever say I loved you, that I'm not there to help you.
That's true. I'm that's a great point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's too much more to say about this subject.
I mean, just we can pigeonhole a lot of things here, because I mean I think with how we treat each other and growing, because it's like say we have a relationship and we're gonna all grow, and that's like how relationships go, and you may get into different things. We've got to really respect each other's growth, because we like to see people grow in the way that we want them to grow, not in the way that they need to.
Well,
grow.
That's true. That's true.
You know,
that's true.
Everybody's got their own journey, and I wish we would be more respectful of those journeys, you know, because sometimes you may need to wild out.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like you might need to go through that phase, because you might, like, we had kids early,
mm-hmm.
so maybe you were really, really responsible in those ages.
Okay,
and it was like,
y'all stay tuned, because I'm gonna be wilding out.
You know, so you
Puerto
like
Rico,
you
yeah, I come.
Yeah,
right.
So
I'm
just like,
right,
look,
yeah.
I'm going to Puerto Rico, and I'm gonna lose myself for a weekend.
Put your phone down. Don't look. Yeah.
So. But, but that's it. You never know. Like, that may be the thing that changes. Because I'm saying, rock bottom changes more people than anything else. It's sad to say it, but it's true. Like,
That's true. But now, again, I got to touch on, you have some people that doesn't want to evolve. So what do you do with those folks that want to try to connect themselves to you? You have some people along your journey that's going to attach themselves to you and suck your energy.
Yeah, then that's you. You do remove those people.
And you
from
have to
your
recognize
circle.
That.
Yeah, you remove those people from your circle, because if you, and that's the challenge, because that takes a lot of strength. Like I think that's one of those things that are really underestimated. Mm-hmm. People think it's easy to really cut people, and it's not. Especially if you got like years invested in it. It's not an easy thing, because
right.
with her, like we're habitual people. Even mm-hmm. going back to you saying like you may have somebody in your life that doesn't treat you the way that they do, like it may not even be something that they're conscious of about doing at, you know, by now, because mm-hmm. if they've been doing it for years, it's embedded in them.
Right.
Like it's a habitual habit. That's why, like I said, people really have to check the habits more than anything else. Just like say you wake up every morning and you meditate, and you mm-hmm. may go spinning or something like that. Like that's a habitual thing.
It is. Yeah.
I was telling somebody the other day, they were telling me like they may pick up the phone and make a phone call and then they end up on Instagram or something like that. Why right. is that? That's your habits.
That's habits. And right.
Why
those
do you think
habits
of, you
know, or something else?
The things that you remember from your childhood and stuff like that, those yeah. things that are embedded in the back of your mind.
Right.
If you don't spend enough time concentrating on yourself to, one, change your habits, and, two, understand why you think and feel the way that you do, right. you're going to keep yourself in those cycles.
Absolutely. So that's a power note. I want to end up, this is my PowerPoint.
That's it.
You can at the end of this one. Up. And, I mean, you can give one at the end. Number, what I would like to suggest is take the time out to figure out how you tick. Don't allow anybody else to tell you who you are. You have to take that time to figure out who you are, how you think, how you respond, and where did those patterns come from. And you have to be intentional not to repeat some of those negative things that you don't like about yourself. So take that time and self-discovery, that quiet time to figure out what it is that you want to change, what it is that you need to change, and where did the root of that thing come from. Because that's the first step into becoming a more freer and more evolving yourself.
That's what's up. I don't know if I can even touch that.
Like, I mean, you know.
I'm with that. I'm all for that. Just like she said, I'm self-discovery, especially, you know, at our age, like, it's so, so important. This is one of those things that I preach, and I say not be preachy, but I preach, like, we've got to have an adult mindset that is more like a child when
yeah.
it comes to discovery and yeah. and exploring.
I like
and,
that.
And really being into, I mean, like I said, our imagination of what we are capable and possible doing. Mm-hmm. And if we start to kind of move in that way and start to see our potential again of like infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be the thing that's going to, you know, help you lead a happier life and make some of the harder decisions. Because once you see a vision for yourself and it's kind of embedded in you and you want it like more than anything,
yeah,
it makes those decisions so much easier.
Absolutely. This is Cash.
It's Brandon.
And we out.
That's it. Later.